from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Brad. A very interesting thing, which I must admit, when I first heard it, I've gone, oh, flip. But then when I thought about it, I've gone, aha. And this is the law that's going literally all over the world at the minute. And I'm sure it's, I know it's in England and the UK, and Slovakia. And I'm sure it's down in Oz as well. Uncharged mobile phones are going to be banned from going on the aeroplanes. Although British Airways and Virgin have said they'll send confiscated kit back. Although I think that's rather silly. And it is all to do with your safety, boys and girls. What they've announced is that any electronic devices, be it a tablet, I'm not going to use a colloquial term, a tablet or a computer or a mobile phone or a smartphone, whatever it happens to be, if you've got something that works with batteries, you've got to be able to prove it works with the batteries charged up before you go through security. And the amount of people who said to me, oh, it's just another thing they're doing, and I'm going, no.
No, this is a really good point, ladies and gentlemen, boys and
Sorry.
Girls. Listen.
Can you say that again?
What?
What you just said.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listen.
No, the bit before that.
No, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anybody else who's listening, can we have Rob the Transvestite on the show now? So, what I was actually saying is... No, it's because he said you were wearing Rachel's shoes.
I did not!
You said he was going to fill Rachel's shoe, so I said,
thank
what
you.
With? You said himself, so I said, is he a transvestite? I said, I'm not the man.
Shall we get back to the phones?
Yes, I forgot what I was saying. That yes, Eric has gained a very good point, because I think most people in this world are under the impression that you have to do it, have your battery charged, so you can switch your machines on and show the people at the thing that actually they work, that they are computer. But no, ladies and gentlemen, no. Eric explains it so well.
It just makes sure that you've got batteries in the device, meaning you can't store bombs in there, in little batteries.
Hey.
And I don't understand why people don't... Because you can... You know, if you've done physics at school... Did you do physics, Rob?
I did, yes.
Right,
yeah, I did physics at uni. Yeah.
Right, well, there's no point in asking Lee. none whatsoever. The fact is, if you take... We go back to our basic physics and take something with the volume size of a battery... It is very easy to make a little device that you put something in the end of and you go click and spark it and the whole thing blows up.
And any naughty terrorists who are listening to this show, don't you do that at all.
And that's why they've got
this
new...
We're not recommending it.
No, that's why they've got this new law. I'm sure of it, because what it does is it makes sure what's actually in the phone is a battery, not a bomb. It's obvious.
I think it's brilliant. It's obvious and incredible. And I back them 100% for doing it. And we should all have our batteries in.
Yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah.
Absolutely easy. Easy peasy, 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 peasy. And to be honest, if you get halfway down the road with your mobile and you think, my battery's going flat, you're in somebody else's car taking you to the airport, you plug it into your laptop and for a few minutes, give some power to your mobile phone, it's charged up anyway.
And also, I do think they're making a rod for their own backs, though, because, as you say, they say that if they confiscate your laptop or whatever it is, and they could confiscate your laptop, your phone, and your that
tablet,
ungeneric thing,
yes,
and they could cut, and that could be £1,500.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to send it back to you.
No, they don't have to. They said
they should.
They said they will.
Yeah,
but it's not the responsibility of the airport. I think it's a good thing. Of the airlines.
It's a good summer brand. When I flew out to Spain last time, which, when I lived out there last year, I took 3 microphones with me.
Yes.
And I was virtually strip searched because I'd got 3 microphones on me.
Yeah.
And it was because all of the wires. And as much as I thought it was a bit of an imposition initially, I said, no, actually, you're right. I understand this. And
we'll check with Rob first before I tell you my silly gun story. and I was an idiot. You fly a lot, don't you, Rob?
I do.
Yes. So when you're flying, are you happier with the level of security now or what it was like in the past?
Oh, I think I've just got used to it.
Yeah.
It's now standard, yeah. if you know what I mean. It's, but they've also got better at it too.
Yeah, the technology helps, doesn't it?
Yeah. The people checking you have got a lot better at it, so they're not as slow as they used to be, and you know. So, but one of the problems is I actually go in work gear, so I've got sort of steel cap boots. I have to quite literally strip right down before I go through.
No, that's just you showing off to the girls. That's it. Get out of here.
No, but I mean, so the last time I got stopped going through security was in an airport in Poland, and they were quite right to stop me because I'd got a microphone stand. It's a fold-up microphone stand, and when you looked at it under the X-ray machine, it looked like a gun.
Yeah.
And the man sort of jumped on me almost and said, "This way, sir." And I went, "Oops, why?" And he said, and he put the thing through the X-ray machine in the back room. He said, "What do you see?" Yeah. I said, "A microphone stand." He said, "What?" I said, "I see my microphone stand." And then he just laughed. And he said, "What else do you see?" And I said, "Well, nothing."
That's my phone.
Yeah, your fault this time. And he then took the gun out of his holster and laid it alongside the screen. He said, "Now what do you see?" I said, "Oh, God, a gun." And he laughed again, and he got it out, had a look, and said, and I said, "Look, no. Don't apologise to me. What you were doing was marvellous. Because had it been a gun, I wouldn't want it going on the plane anyway. So thank you very
much,
mate."
Yeah. That's exactly what I said to them when they did that to me.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's right. You know, we have to listen. What? Can I just break it? Just jump in.
Well, you're going to anyway.
I know, but I'm always polite about it, aren't I? You must.
No, that's less than polite. Because if you're polite, you get an answer of yes or no and acknowledge it and respect it. Or you're unpolite and you say, "Can I butt in?" It's like when somebody says, "With the greatest of respect," which means you're
that's
about
one
to...
That's one of my favourite phrases.
I can understand that, yes.
Yeah, it's like, I do. I just say, and everybody knows the moment you say that you're going to totally disrespect them.
Correct. So you're going to do this anyway. So it's like the person that says, "Do you want to say hello to somebody else? I'd just like to say to everyone else that knows me..."
Ladies and gentlemen, I could have told this story by now. Do you want to... This is a live news story that's happening at this moment,
really?
As we are on air,
right.
That has been focused and the questions have been asked on our behalf, and I have had them delivered and placed on my... Sorry, it was me slapping my notes on my desk. They're placed on my desk.
I'm just thinking of Lee now. I've got this vision of what? Lee in his lumberjack gear slapping his thigh and singing, "I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay."
It'd be red eye heels.
Yes.
Should I tell you this? What happened?
Yes, please.
And then, this really is a serious thing, and it's what we've been asking the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to do over the last few weeks.
Right.
To let us know about the consumer problems they've been having. Now, I've got to say, this is a consumer problem that happened to me, but the answer is, this is something that's happening to people all the time, and you need to listen to what I'm saying. I'll tell the story very briefly, but yesterday we were standing in the back garden of my palatial home in the village of the Damned, and as we were standing there for no reason at all, inexplicably, a patio window suddenly cracked. It turned into this spider's web of groaning little bits of glass. No reason, nothing happened, it just happened. So I thought, well, I worked it out, it was going to cost about £500 to get it sorted out. So I thought, well, the thing to do is find out if you're insured, because I never use my insurance. So I thought, I'll check it. So I phoned up the insurance company, which goes under the guise of the post office in England, and ask them about my insurance place. Say, does it like cover me for kamikaze patio doors? And this is what I was told. "I'm sorry, sir, we can't share that information with you." So I'm thinking, is he really going to start quoting the Data Protection Act at me? So we then went down the line and said, well, look, the reason I need to know is because I don't want to make a claim necessarily, but I would like to know whether if I decide to make a claim, I can make a claim. He said, what you have to do, sir, is go home and read your policy document. I said, I've lost my policy document. I burnt it on a cold winter's night when I was almost dying in front of the fire. And so he said, well, I'm sorry, sir. There's nothing I can do to help you. So, and then he came up with an idea. This is where it gets incredible. He said, there is one thing you can do. So what's that? He says, you can actually make a claim, right? Mm-hmm. And if your claim is accepted and there is going to be a payout, you then know that you are insured. If your claim is turned down, then you know you're not insured.
Great.
Can you believe that?
Great. Marvellous.
Next bit, right, and then we'll get to the end of it. Next bit. So I thought about this. I said, well, so if I make a claim to find out if I can make a claim and I am knocked back, so I can't actually, because I'm not insured to make that claim, does that then still remain on my records as a claim?
It would, yeah.
He says, I'm not in a position to tell you that.
Oh, God.
Can you believe that?
That is terrible.
That sounds like Mr. Jobsworth to me.
Absolutely. But the most obstreperous, ridiculous Mr. And I had to go through loads of machines that kept telling me. The one that asked me my name, he said, could you state your name? I said, Lee Banks. He said, and I spelt out Lee. I spelled L-E-I-G-H like that to him. And he said, Lee Banksler. I said, no, Lee Banks. He said, Lee Bonks. I said, no. She said, Leonard Benchley. This is the blinking machine that's like talking to me. Then it disagreed with my policy number. Then I got through to this idiot.
Right, and you did say this wasn't a long story.
I'm just going to say, this is what was delivered to my desk a few seconds ago.
Right.
This my policy is underwritten by budget.
Went to the underwriters. Good move.
Yeah. They, Budget Insurance Services, BISL Group, this is their reply. I would imagine, although I've not spoken to them, it was the glorious Andrea who spoke to them, that they're quite shocked and surprised at what went on, but they've been very studious in what they've said. They said, this is not our standard practice.
Right.
The would. It would always make every effort to find out what was... we would always make every effort to find out what was in your policy for
Lee, do you want a top tip?
I love a top tip.
Yeah, read the script twice before you read it on air.
It was live. It came to me like that. It was like ticker tape being handed over to me. That was real live radio, ladies and gentlemen.
So what's the bottom line?
Well, the bottom line is that I don't know whether I'm insured or not.
So the whole story, this last 5 minutes, is a complete waste of airtime.
Well, no, it isn't, because it's important. Because if you are a lady and a gentleman, or a boy and a girl, or somebody else, right, and you phone up your insurance company and say, am I insured because my window's broken? And they say, we're not going to tell you. What you'll have to do is make an insurance claim and see if you actually get it paid out. And if you do, then you're insured. That will remain on your record as a claim. I didn't want to make a claim. I wanted to find out if I could make a claim if I decided I wanted to. And basically what they've done is jeopardise my no claims bonus on my insurance policy.
Good grief. We'll change insurers next year.
I'm going to. No, I like them now because they've talked to us, aren't they? Bizzle. They're called Bizzle.
Are they going to pay you?
You know what, Bizzle? I drop the L and just use the BIS.
Right. Well, are they going to pay out?
Well, I don't know yet.
Oh, but they're going to come back to you and tell you?
Well, yeah, because they've not even told me if I'm insured.
Flipping heck.
But it's a con, isn't it? It's a con. It's a way to get... See, what happens is you make a claim, your no claims bonus goes down. So you have to pay more to your insurance company. And one of the
If you take out no claims protection. Yes.
Which costs you more money, which is what I'm saying. It costs you more money. What happens is that if you make a claim and it fails, it remains on your records as a claim, so it looks like you're a high risk, and that's what actually happens. And in this case, and I've heard this before, and it's happened twice to us in the past few months, that they are telling you they won't tell you whether you're insured or not. What you have to do is make a claim.
No, what you should do is always go
to the person who's really doing it. There are so many schemes out there, you know, even high street stores that sell insurance. When actually it's not really them, they're just marketing it for somebody else.
Well, that's the number that's on your policy.
But look it up on, look it up, just look it up. The fact is, you'll find...
They're being conned. People think that that's what they should do. That's why it's there. It's on your policy.
I'm saying, don't do it. What you do is you check. Just double
check.
Yes, just double check your policy.
Top tips.
Yeah, double check your policy and see if it's underwritten by somebody else. Say for it's, for example, and I can't. Oh no, God forbid this ever happened. It's underwritten by Lee Bank.
Lee Bank.
Lee Bank.
There is a place in Birmingham called Lee Bank.
Oh God. Anyway, so the policy is underwritten by Lee Bank. The thing you do is cut out the middleman to find the information you want. Phone Lee Bank up. And say, am I insured for my patio windows, Gov? Don't go through the middleman, because he won't know the answers anyway. He's only a marketing bloke.
Yes, but he shouldn't be there. That shouldn't be the person who answers the phone.
I know.
Where, from the phone number that's on top of your policy.
But don't do it then. Don't fall for the trap.
Don't do it. No, don't do it, ladies and gentlemen. Just keep paying your insurance and never bother to claim, just in case you're not allowed to.
Anyway, we move on to another top tip of this week. We're in lots of these. Be careful, boys and girls out there. Don't get suckered. Five people have been arrested in the UK over fake government websites, and they are a con. They are a scam, and I know about the defamation law. They are a con and a scam. And what they do is they claim to get new documents for you. And you pay money in as if they were a genuine website, and they take the money off from you, and they are not. Now, the only people in the UK allowed to use a government website are the government. And that is .gov.uk, government websites. Nobody else. And the trouble is, what's happened is, because the new UK websites have come out, the scammers have got hold of it before the silly government have registered them.
Silly government.
And silly. So people have registered sites under .uk. Now, the fact is, gov.uk is... You know, you can't do it. It's only the government can do this.
They can, that's it.
That's the bottom line. And you'll find that when you're actually replying to these people, it will go to a different place. It won't go to government.
No.
And that's the problem. And we've had this before.
Send the money.
You just don't send the money. Double check it. Go to your... One of the great things you can do is actually go to your Citizen Advice Bureau and ask them for the real place to go to if you want.
Why not just phone the government?
Well, because they just don't answer the phone. Just go to your CAB, it's quicker. And just say to them...
CAB are rubbish.
No, just say to them... No, they're great at this. Say to them, please could you write down for me what is the correct website to get a new tax disc? What is the correct website to check my housing thingy? Ask them, they will have a big... They'll probably give you a leaflet with it all on for nothing. So just check and don't get conned into these government websites, because they'll take your money. They're very clever at getting up onto Mr. Google and Mr. Bing, who don't check all this stuff, because they don't. And then you end up losing money. And the chance of you getting it back, even though these people are arrested, is a big fat zero.
Exactly. And another top tip while we're doing top tips and bottom lines. Yeah. Right. Actually, that's a nice name, title for a piece, isn't it?
It's rather, isn't it?
Like Real Dead Kids, Real Gone Kids. Anyway, another top tip, ladies and gentlemen, that you will now start getting loads of phone calls off people who phone you up and say, hello, my name is so-and-so, I work for so-and-so, we are representing the government, and it's to do with putting stuff in your roof so your house stays warm and stuff like that.
Yep.
They don't represent the government at all. They are not government appointed. They're people who've jumped on a bandwagon and phone you up and try to convince you that they're working for the government, and that's a con too.
Absolutely. Do you know there's an easy way to get that? Ask them which ministry they're working for. That'll throw them.
Well, yeah, I did one yesterday. I did one yesterday, and I went through it. I said, who are you? And I got down to, got quite personal about things. Not personal, like rude, not like arranging a date, but just like talking. And as soon as I said, can you tell me which part of the government sponsors your company? She hung up on me.
Funny that, isn't it?
We move on. I cannot believe, Rob, that you live in a country.
Nobody can believe, Rob.
With such a numpty in there. It's a croc called John, you numpty. Apparently, a 3.5 metre long crocodile, I don't know whether it was a freshie or not, has attacked his keeper, dragging him into the water at a zoo in Australia. Rob, do they not know?
What? Did they? Well, what I find amazing is how the croc took some meat when he shouldn't have. And the bloke thought he could discipline.
What do you mean the croc shouldn't have took them? The croc is a croc. It's a dinosaur.
It's a killing machine.
He's a killing machine. So just, excuse me, Mr. Crocodile. No, you can't eat that yet. It's like feeding a dog, isn't it? Oh, the crocodile's like a dog. Don't eat now. Sit, Mr. Crocodile. Sit, John.
What's amazing?
What Rob said is the point of this story, that this trainer fed the crocodile, decided the crocodile had taken the meat too soon, so stuffed his hand in the crocodile's to get it back.
What a numpty.
Well, until I came to Darwin, I have to admit, I didn't really appreciate the croc, but up here it's a huge industry, crocodiles. It's
you make shoes?
There's a crocodile farm. Sorry? Yeah, they do. They make everything out of it.
Really? Sorry.
I bet sling bags.
There's a croc farm that's going to spend a couple of million dollars doing an expansion. They have 78,000 crocs.
Whoa.
So, really? I know. It's amazing.
That means you could do your garden path in that, couldn't you?
You could.
And this is an industry that's supported by your Louis Vuittons and, you know,
all the
Dawn.
And once you've seen one of these in the flesh, wow, they are.
I'd rather see one with its clothes on.
They're a nasty piece of work. They really are.
But they are a dinosaur, aren't they, Rob?
They are.
Genuinely.
They
are. Yeah.
Are they actually a dinosaur if they're only 3 years old?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I'm a marsupial.
Hang on, wait, he's going to love this one. Anatomically, yes, they are.
Yes. Yeah, but
it's a big word, come on, for goodness sake.
Yeah, but I'm born of apes, as people have often said.
Yeah, we are apes.
But I am not an ape.
Yes,
I
you
am
are.
Not an ape, man. I'm not Phil Collins.
In Slovak, you are Velký
Opica.
In Slovak, you are Velký Opica. You should learn that one, Rob.
It's new with it.
Rob, you should learn it. So it's Velké o pizza.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Velké o pizza. And that means a big monkey.
It means, can I have a piece of pizza?
No. No. You're a big monkey. Which actually. So do these numpties actually do this in a lot of zoos then, Rob?
Most of these have crocs, I think. Yeah. The Australian Zoo. I mean, what's his name?
Zoo. You can do it on the road, can't you? In Australia.
In the last 12 months here in Darwin, 3 people have been taken by crocs. Like, actually, yeah.
Really?
By crocs. In the wild. Yeah, absolutely. Ooh. And that's just in Darwin.
Crocs. Make it snappy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll try and make it snappy now, as we've done at least 3 stories this week. to the entertainment department this time, Stena Lift to Heaven's coming out again. Sorry, I mean Pink Floyd are releasing a new album this year.
Yeah.
Everybody's underwhelmed. Great.
No, I think it's a brilliant thing.
Really?
Pink Floyd are the orchestral manoeuvres in the night of rock and roll. They've created some of the most powerful and operatic and anthemic music that the world's ever known. Like everybody else in the rock pantheon, they are of a pensionable age now. And they're making... People of pensionable age don't stop being artists, don't stop being talented, and they've gone out and made... Well, in certain cases...
I was going to say, does that apply to Phil Collins as well, then?
Phil Collins is a knob. Right? So they've gone on and they've made a brilliant thing. It's supposed to be better than the... whatever it was called,
Dark Side of the Moon.
Dark Side of the Moon, The Wall. Mm. I thought The Wall was rubbish, actually. But they've done it.
You heathen.
Now, Dark Side of the Moon was a genius album.
That's better. You get a brownie point back now.
Yeah, that was dark with insanity and all sorts of things.
Actually, do you know what? Pete is the guitarist in one of the cover bands for Floyd, and they're called Pink Fraud. And they genuinely are. They're called Pink Fraud. Roger Waters actually helped them buy the instruments, and they are absolute replicas of everything that Pink Floyd had on stage. And if you close your eyes and listen, I'll defy anybody to tell the difference. They are absolutely amazing live. Ever get a chance to see Pink Fraud live, go and see them. They are brilliant. They are brilliant. And walk over to the guitarist, Pete, and go, "Here, Eric said you were going to be brilliant, and you are." And he'll go, "Where is the sod these days?" Or worse to that effect. We've got just time for one more story to squeeze into the little old programme where Rob has been filling the shoes beautifully. And I think the one we've got to do honest, Governor, my foot slipped. Ooh. A valet was parking a Lamborghini Gallardo. Excuse me while I take breath. A Lamborghini Gallardo. Causing £196,000, that's $335,000 worth of damage, and kind of said, "Well, it's not my fault, Gov."
Well, it costs that much to replace a wing mirror on mine.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know why, Rob? Do you know why it costs that much money?
No, I have no idea.
Well, it takes that many to come round and look at it. There's a queue at the door going, "What is it?"
The truth is, Rob, you probably haven't heard this, but it broke down. My Bentley broke down on the drive, and it's a long curving drive, and the steering thing was stuck on, you know, that lock thing on your steering. Yeah. That was stuck on. It took 9 men 2.5 hours to get my car down the drive.
You see what I'm saying? Rob,
it's massive. It's a muscle car. It's a gigantic, big, fat muscle car. It's gorgeous, and I love it, and I could live in it forever.
But apparently this hotel worker...
That's my muscle car, boys.
The hotel worker now faces the prospect of having to contribute to the repair bill.
An Indian...
He's never going to do it, is he?
I wouldn't have thought so. No, I can imagine a valet in India is going to be earning that much, unfortunately.
No, so absolutely fully be not. Well, anyway, listen, we're just at the end. So, first off, Rob.
Yes. Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
I think you filled those shoes brilliantly.
Yeah.
I think she's redundant, mate. I do, really.
She'll be back next week. Don't worry about that for us.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, it was nice to have a manly man on the show instead of Eric.
Yeah, I'll get you back for that, Butler. Anyway,
that's a great turnaround.
Yes, thank you.
Started up as a transvestite, now a manly man.
Yeah, very good. So anyway, it's your turn to say goodbye, Rob.
Okay, well, bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. At least, I'm for you to say goodbye as well.
Bye-bye, everybody. It's been wonderful.
Stop it. And we'll see you next week. Don't forget, as always, if you have got problems and you do want to raise an issue, send them to Lee or I or to Rob or to Rachel or to your station. They'll forward them on, and we will take a look, I promise. See you soon. Take care. Bye-bye, boys and girls.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.